I think it's important, too, to recognize that Timothy had been given a very special charge in the first epistle, and Timothy had a very special gift that he, and responsibility as well, here at Ephesus. And I think it's important, too, to also understand that we're not in it alone. Though Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he had Timothy, he had the saints at Ephesus upon his heart. You know, perhaps sometimes, young people, we might think that we stand all by ourselves. But you know, there are those who are older who are praying for you. You may not always be in direct communication with them. But Brother Chuck and the brothers at Lead here, we remember you throughout the year. We think of this group. We're able to see the faces and many of the names. And here was what Paul was saying to Timothy. He says, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. It is natural, it is human, to be sometimes overwhelmed with circumstances. It is, you know, we feel the weight of the ruin, of things not being the way they should be. And that's not just in the assemblies that we walk in practical fellowship with. It's all of Christendom. The great ruin of the church, not being what she should be in the mind and the eyes of God as a testimony here on earth. And we must own our own failure in it. You know, we were talking about this in the selection of the main study yesterday, that sometimes perhaps our language says that we are proud, that we look at others and other gatherings of believers and we say we are not like them. Or we might think that we are better because we might think we have more light. But here was Timothy in a situation at Ephesus, right? And the Ephesian saints received some of the highest truths, and yet there was great failure. But young people, the brethren are praying for you. And this gift, the promise of life, speaks to the faithfulness of God, that there is nothing that man could ever do. The failure of man will never stop, interrupt, alter the promises and the plan of God. The church will go through. And as we have in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And now what is going on is that even in a day of ruin, by the washing of the word of God, he is washing and purifying us. And every young person that wants to walk faithfully, so that in that day to come, he presents to himself a glorious church. It is for us now to be burdened, as it were, with walking faithful. That's what we want you to be burdened with, not with the ruin. And so that's why I believe Paul says, when I call, he was mindful of his tears. He says, but when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or genuine faith that is in thee. You see, this is what was in Timothy. He had genuine faith. And we want to challenge ourselves. You know, that word unfeigned really means not hypocritical faith. So are we putting up a facade? Do you present to your peers and to the saints one way, and it's not genuine? Paul could say of Timothy, I know of the genuine, unhypocritical faith that is in you. And that's where we want to reach as young believers.
That's what I believe is the attitude of Timothy. There's two things. We've heard that he was discouraged. And I think he was discouraged. But he was discouraged for the right reason. Could we say that? He was discouraged because of the spiritual condition that he found the people of God in. And this is why when Paul is writing here in verse 4, he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. He doesn't stop there. That I may be filled with joy. The Apostle Paul wasn't going to be filled with joy to look at Timothy and see him weeping, but he was filled with joy because he realized that Timothy's heart was in the right place, and he was weeping for the right reason. And it was the affections that the Apostle Paul that we spoke about when we speak of the promise of life. Here he was in a dungeon cell waiting for his execution, and he's speaking of the promise of life because his affections were in the right place. And those were the affections of Timothy, who saw the ruin, the condition of the people of God, and he was concerned, and he was weeping over it, and became discouraged because of it. And this was the attitude, the character that Timothy was in at this beginning.
Okay, bringing it back to the side of the individual, because it is written to the individual. First off, I want to see if anybody else sees this, but to me, everywhere in the Bible, I see the most powerful individuals. It's never so much God used six people to do this. It's always God used Paul. God used Abraham. God used the biggest individual in the Bible is Jesus. And then I look and I see how blessed Timothy was. He's crying because he had grown up from the youngest of ages with a grandmother and a mother who, reading, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." He is crying not only because of the ruin, but because he has seen before the ruin, he has known since a young age, that which the church should be like, and he is seeing it fail. And how much more should we be so, how do I put this, so extremely sad, full of grief for the state the church is in now? Yes, we are in a day of ruin. We are in a worse day of ruin than Timothy was. The persecution is not as bad, but the state of the church, we are ineffective anymore. Sad to say it, but we're ineffective. We can't go out and get the true converts. It's moving to the individual is where we're going to find converts.